Okay, Maurice Roberts.
Hi.
Kathy Alquin.
Present.
Manon Gutsy.
Aye.
And Becky Quintero.
Present.
Gosh, can I have approval of the minutes?
I move to approve it.
I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Maurice. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, we're all good. I'll call to audience. This time we have any member of the public is allowed to address the committee. Speakers are limited to 3-minute presentations pursuant to Arizona Open Meeting Law. Individual committee members may ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda item or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the committee may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during call to the audience. Kimiko Washington?
Hi, I'm Kimiko Washington. I'm in Ward 1. I'm here speaking about the formal naming proposal on the Mission Manor Aquatic Center, and I have submitted to the city the name. I have submitted a proposal to the city. Nearly 5 years ago, my son, Ocean Washington, had his life tragically stolen by gun violence there at Mission Manor in front of where the Aquatic Center is being built. And since 2008, that neighborhood has wanted that pool to be rebuilt. And now with this funding, this beautiful aquatic center is coming to life. And as families walk through these doors, holding their children's hands to this place of, you know, of education and safety, we can't ignore what happened on the ground there. So naming this Naming the center after Ocean is not just about remembering a life gone soon. It's about community transformation. It aligns with this commission's ongoing Safe and Vibrant Parks initiative. By attaching Ocean's name to a place dedicated for youth recreation and wellness, Tucson makes a powerful statement that we reject violence. We choose to reclaim our public spaces as sanctuaries of peace and safety and unity. Like I said, my proposal has already been formally submitted. Our petition continues to gather momentum from families who want to see our grief turned into positive change. This name will keep Ocean's spirit alive while also serving as a constant reminder of our commitment to gun safety and education for future generations. So I urge this Parks and Rec Commission to advance this proposal to Mayor and Council. Let's give this community a space where we can rebuild happy new memories under a banner of healing and hope. Thank you.
Thank you. And then if we have ARC therapy, pool temperature, and aquatic center update. Questions? Oh, do we have?
No. I wanted Kimiko's contact info. So we have the card. Sorry.
That's okay.
Distracting myself.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. He's doing the pool. So I'm going to go over it real quick and then ask Sarah and TJ to help me. So this is in response to some of the comments that we got last month, providing a little bit of an overview of the facility and addressing some of the things that we heard. Okay, so just for some context, so the facility was actually, I should have said, opened in 2004. They just recently celebrated their 20th anniversary. Fun fact is I was looking at some of the older files when they were exploring different locations to build this facility. They actually initially looked at Quincy Douglas.
Really?
Then they decided it wasn't central enough, and that's how it ended up. They said they wanted it closer to 22nd and Alvernon. So that's how we came to be. So the concept was a destination for adaptive and inclusive aquatic programming, space to swim. So the facility has an indoor and an outdoor pool. Just in case you haven't been there, I don't want to take for granted what you know or don't know. And offer the benefits of a warm water pool access, but it is a recreation-focused facility. I highlight that because a lot of the feedback that we keep getting does start to lend towards the concept of us being kind of a rehab, like a rehab destination or physical therapy type destination, but we're not. It's not what we claim to be. We've never, I don't think we'll ever be able to get there unless we had like really specialized services. Our features, the outdoor pool, you know, covers the entire deck, zero entry, lap lanes, walking channel. We have learned to swim, lap swimming. We've done Special Olympic training there. I think that was it. Okay. And then it's a recreation swim friendly, family friendly with the zero entry. And then the indoor therapy pool, warm water, we have a target of 90 degrees. We have two different ways that folks can use it, by reservation, which in on the next slide I'll kind of show how that works, and then our water fitness classes. There are a couple water fitness classes that happen in the outdoor pool as well, and I've captured that for you all as well. So our indoor therapy pool use has what we call self-directed use. You know the benefits of the warm water. You want to come, you want to soak, you want to move according to the way that works for you. And so in the orange box there, Monday through Friday, those are all of our reservation times. So you can call ahead of time, get the time slot that you want. You show up, you use the pool, and then you're able to leave. We don't what we're doing at that point is guarding and keeping you safe. Saturday hours as well are available. And then intermixed is you'll see that in the morning time we go off to 8:40. Then we transition over to our classes that start at 9 o'clock in the morning, and either you're in a Monday, Wednesday class or a Tuesday, Thursday class. And those classes, Susan was right. We did talk about increasing them from 45 minutes to 50 minutes. So after last month's meeting, we went ahead in the system and adjusted it. And now they're all running on a 50-minute schedule. And we really feel like that is the ideal amount of time, not only for the participants, but for the instructors. It's a long time to be standing on that deck. I mean, doing different things. This particular photo shows her kind of using a chair to demo, but and these sessions also need to have that transition time, knowing that some of these folks might have limited mobility, giving that 10-minute window before the next class is going to start. The other thing that we have to consider is non-perm staff do get breaks. They do get lunchtime. And so factoring that into, as you can see, from 6:30 in the morning all the way through 4:45 in the afternoon, that those pools are pretty scheduled now. I did highlight here just the two classes that are in the indoor pool, or no, outdoor covered pool, just so you have that for reference. So, concerns that we heard. We did catch what Susan pointed out, that it was saying 92 degrees on the website, but in reality, what we are consistently able to maintain is 90. So TJ looked up in the Certified Pool Operator Handbook what's recommended based on, if I could zoom in a little. I was struggling with the auto formatting on this slide. Okay. So therapy pool, if you were just therapy based, anywhere between 88 and 92 degrees, warm water arthritis, 92 to 94, aquatic fitness, 86 to 90, and then children or adaptive use, 88 to 92. Wow. And then, so the target really at 90, we are kind of splitting the difference. And so that addresses that one. The duration of the classes, we already adjusted from 45 to 50, so I feel like we've responded. They really want an hour, but I think 50 is the best place for us to land, because if you can imagine adding up to 60, we're going to have to then eventually adjust all the reservation time slots, which I think is impacting even more people. There was an indication that there were prior year discounts. Andy looked all the way back to 2018 when ActiveNet started. We don't see any discounts ever being applied to those classes. So maybe it happened when they first opened. I don't have any documentation to that. And there's a desire to identify external funding to provide discounts. So Robert's already talked to one particular entity that offers it. It's almost like a full-time job to manage the program, and it would actually cost us more to provide that particular discount. So that one's out. We're going to look at some other ones, but we are trying to identify more that are out there. They just come with certain terms, and even checking with Marana, the same group that Robert spoke to, they also turned it down because the staff have to individually monitor every individual use, and it doesn't make a ton of sense for us, or we'd have to look at increasing the costs to absorb the impact of managing the program. I'll show you the cost increase on the next slide. And then there was concerns around the training of staff. I do want to say the one instructor that they didn't like, they said, oh, he's 15. We don't allow 15-year-olds to teach fitness classes. He came from another pool to teach. They just didn't like his style. But if you're 15 years old teaching, that means we just literally hired you and told you to go teach a bunch of people. That's not going to happen, is it, Sarah? No. Okay. We had the commitment this August. We were doing, was it 15 people, Sarah? How many people were we training this month?
Yeah, we did. They had it already.
And then we'll continue to look for additional opportunities to add training. One of the things that we are now mindful of, too, is we're going to have to keep that going because these are non-perm staff. And some of the beloved instructors got the opportunity to promote to be pool specialists this summer. So that's why they weren't available to teach. So understanding it's important to keep these classes going, we're going to have to figure out how to keep our stable of instructors fresh or available because we can't. We also lost someone to teach full time, right? Be a school teacher. So they're going to eventually leave us as well. And then my final thing here. So we did hear the concern about the price increase. So you can see for arthritis, they paid $25 the last session. They're paying $29 this session. Andy broke it down for us. So it breaks down to approximately used to pay $167 a class, now $193. Just another example, low impact AquaFit went from 42 to 49, core stability from 48 to 46, and MS Cool in the Pool, 25 to
29. How come the deep water AquaFitness actually went down?
Thank you for calling out what I was just about to talk about. There was an error in the system. It was caught after everybody enrolled and paid. So Andy came and told me that this week. We're going to email everybody that's in the class. We're not going to change that for this session, but next session will reflect the price that it should be. This year was a hard year because we had a lot of fees that were adjusted. From leisure classes had adjustments. Kidco, we had adjustments, brand new discount program. Mistakes are bound to happen, and this is one that just got caught after the fact. All right, so questions?
I have a couple. Sure. Are you guys going to go back to, you know, testing the temperature of the water and posting that daily?
So the reason we stopped doing it is because how argumentative they got. Like our reader is inside the pump room, right? So we're using the equipment that is warming the water to verify the temperature of the water. Somebody brings in an uncalibrated thermometer and then they want to say the water is not correct. what it was doing was causing a lot of conflicts with the staff. So if we do it again, that's the nervousness.
So you were saying that applying discounts would be too hard.
For that particular program that we explored.
Yeah, for these programs. Yeah, I wonder if there's a partner available that could help just lower the price across the board. You know, the situation that I've been talking to around with some of the people who've been going here for years and people who I know is that they are older. They are having to pay it all up front in 1 month period when they're on a very limited income. So they're saving up and doing all these things. Also wonder how hard it would be maybe to split the payment into two payments, things like that. I know it's all going to cost a little bit extra attention and funding, but I think part of the issue is that it's just, you know, they have to get on at 8 o'clock in the morning to make videos and then pay all at once. And it's for some of them, it's a survival issue. So that's just.
It's good. I mean, it's a good thought. We can certainly explore.
Okay. Amen for me.
Pardon?
A payment plan.
A payment plan, yeah.
Amen. It's like, I mean, it's. Or another thought, can it be upgraded such that, you know, when the class is full, it pops up, class full?
So that it does do that now.
It can put people on a waiting list.
Okay. Yeah. So if someone does drop off or change their mind, don't call someone.
You already thought of us.
Yeah. Good. I mean, the system does allow for that.
Okay. I do have a question.
Maurice?
Yes. I've noticed that all classes starts at 9 o'clock in the morning. Now, I do happen to have a swimming pool in my house, and best time of the day is around 6:30, between 6:30 and 7 o'clock, when the sun is up, but not enough to burn you out. So I'm just wondering whether it would make sense to create some early sessions. Okay, I see that the self-directed use that you just put on the screen starts at 6:30. I'm just wondering whether that should be extended to the classes, which are a revenue-making opportunity. And at the same time, I don't know about you guys, but I don't know if you've tried to go in the pool at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Unless you wear a hat and a shirt, you can't do it. The sun is too high. So maybe we should consider an earlier shifts, maybe in addition to the one that we have already. Just thought.
So 2 points that I would make is if we were to do an early morning class, that means your self-directed therapy drop-in classes, sessions would have to be moved. They can't use the space at the same time. So what you see there, 6:30 to 7:30 and 7:40 to 8:40 and on, are the folks that are coming. Like we've learned, some of them come 5 days a week for the benefit of using that particular pool. If we tried to put a class early morning at that time slot, that's about what's our max for drop-in, 25?
Yeah, something like that.
That's 25 people we'd be displacing. And a lot of them are very fixed on the time that they typically come. The second point, I don't disagree with you when you have a pool that's outside and the temp of the water is, it's hard to be there plus out in the sun. This is the indoor therapy pool that we're talking about. So it's not exposed to the sun at all. And they're coming specifically because the water is warm at 90 degrees.
Excuse me. So this is the indoor pool we're talking about. What about the outdoor pool? What time do we start the sessions on the outdoor pool?
So I didn't include the schedule there just because the focus of the comments were indoor. But we have lap swim in the morning. Then we have, if you see here, 9 a.m. deep water fitness. Then I believe we also have midday lap swim. You got the 10 a.m. MS cool in the pool, and then we have midday lap swim, and then you have rec swim in the afternoon. And that is a covered pool, in that it has that, it's the giant circus tent thing. So that's why a lot of families like that particular pool, because it is shaded, to your point. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's still viable to be swimming there.
Okay. I'm just wondering whether you said the breakup point is 25 self-directed use people is when is who shows up on a regular basis.
Yeah, approximately. I mean, that's the maximum capacity for each reservation time period is 25 people, and that can be sometimes an individual plus their caregiver. We have a number of wheelchair users that use this pool. So they'll come in with a caregiver.
Okay. I don't have a, you know, ready answer, but, you know, I like the idea of being able to increase somehow, you know, the billable hours, okay, and somehow being able to extend the use of the pool. I see that we close it at 4:45 p.m. Okay. Is there a particular rationale? Because it does get warm until much later than that. Have we considered a later shift, maybe?
Is your recommendation a later shift with a class or a later shift for the drop-in reservation period?
Well, is the drop-in reservation a source of revenue?
No, that's free, and that's the one that when we did the fee discussion, they pushed back on having to pay because they felt like it was discriminating against those with a disability. So it's free.
Then I would push the possibility of late classes during the day. Okay, if we're going to charge for it, then we may as well take advantage of the facility that we have on hand and the hours that it's not being used. You know, maybe we could do it. Well, I'm thinking, you know, if we were to do maybe 4:45 to 6:45 p.m. Class session, okay, it would be, you know, additional revenue, and it wouldn't affect the free self-directed use, okay. So it would be kind of a win-win situation there.
We could take it under advisement. The only point that I would make is the fees that we're charging, we're not making money on them. We're losing money with every class that we offer because we pivoted from 100% cost recovery to only a 15% increase on the former price. So I just want to point out that if we do add a class, we're still going to be subsidizing the cost of the class. And that's just purely based on staff. That doesn't consider chlorine or utilities or anything like that. I mean, I
put programming in the evening in the rec pool with swimming lessons.
Yeah.
And a lot of that staff teaches lessons.
Sure.
Generating revenue doesn't mean you generate profit.
Right.
And that's a program that generates revenue. Swimming lessons.
Swim lessons. Well, right now, too, because Pima County Health Department's paying.
Which is nice.
And a good thing. I mean, I get your thought process, Maurice. I just wanted to kind of give that perspective as well. But yeah, in the afternoon too, we try to, add in the learn to swim. Do we do learn to swim in the therapy pool?
We do it in the rec pool, but isn't there adaptive in there?
Yeah. If we have adaptive lessons, it's in the rec pool.
No, it's in the therapy pool.
I'm sorry, therapy pool.
Too many pools.
I'm just wondering here. I'm thinking out loud, but okay. If we know that we're losing money, okay, on those sessions, is there a way to make it so that, you know, there should be so many people per sessions? Okay, if there's not enough people, then there isn't a session. Okay, in order to consolidate, okay, and cut our losses. You follow me?
There's a minimum and there's a maximum. And if we go over the maximum, we start a waiting list. If we don't reach the minimum, we haven't been offering the class.
But I believe most of these classes are full, and at the maximum enrollment, we're not covering cost. And that, so just to take us back to when we initially put out the fee proposal, when we issued out what the cost would have been at 100% cost recovery, that we got a lot of pushback. They did come to call to the audience. They talked about the financial impact of that for them. And so that's why we ended up settling at a 15% increase only. So at least we started absorbing back a little bit more cost recovery, and we're listening to what they said about, and to Manon's point, that they're talking about the ability to afford to pay. So I'm not entirely sure this is the hill to die on trying to turn a profit, because of the nature of the facility itself, its therapeutic focus and inclusion focus. But we could possibly look at models of other locations that we do classes to try to see if that is a better alignment, where we know our target audience isn't on such a fixed income.
I'm just curious, but there's a program run by HMOs, like there's this silver programs, okay, whereas the HMO actually pays the healthcare facility so that the benefit should be part of the client of the healthcare HMO. Have we looked in that particular area, tried to get included into a place like United Healthcare or something like this?
So we did. Was it Silver Sneakers?
Silver Sneakers.
Silver Sneakers is the first one we talked to, and the way that they want us to administer the program would require us to dedicate an additional staff member to monitor and reconcile it, which isn't conceivable. It would cost us more money to embrace that program. So United Healthcare, and there's a couple others, have some programs that we're going to explore. It's just going to take us some time to go through. Some of them don't exactly have very clear contact information, and when I reached out to the YMCA for theirs, their program adoption is at a corporate level, well, not corporate, but you know what I mean, higher level umbrella, so they didn't really have a good way for me to take advantage. But that is something that we will be continuing to explore, Maurice.
Okay, I think it's very good. It's a source of funds, okay, which a number of healthcare facilities around the country are using. Mm-hmm. I don't see why we shouldn't. Okay, we need the money, and we have the facility, so we just need to find a good match. And I think this is a good way to get, you know, to get to it. Yeah, that's my opinion.
Thank you, Maurice. We're moving on to Parkmaster Master Plan Partnership Opportunity, Alliance for Ecological Park Management discussion.
Yeah, I don't know what the partnership ask is.
To be part of, I should have brought the letter. To be part of the master plan as a, I don't want to say it wrong, pro bono consultant on natural resources as the master plan. Right, Jennifer? Did I get that right? Yep, she's got it. Thank you. Yeah, she had a copy.
Okay. I think that's something we would have to consider as we get into the master planning. I don't know what the need for this. I also think we have to be careful that we aren't engaging some stakeholders more than others. I mean, the master plan process designed to get feedback from all stakeholders, and then have the consultant and staff digest that as we develop the plan. I think we have to be careful that we're not giving some stakeholders a maybe a higher voice than others, I guess I would say. So we can certainly evaluate this as we go through the master plan process. But I think we have to be careful if we commit something that could be misperceived.
How much of the master plan do you think is going to be focused on natural resources?
I think as we look at redoing the park classifications, you know, we've got many parks, neighborhood parks, metro parks, community parks, regional parks, and we don't even have a cultural resource park. So as we look at redefining the types of parks that we have, we will certainly come out with a cultural resource park. Might there be some value in, you know, how we define that? Certainly. Beyond that, I'm not sure how much we'll go into as far as, you know, natural resources parks. This is going to depend on the feedback we get this year.
So it'd be fair to say that when we get to that port, we could definitely tap them in for that.
From the classification and what that looks like and the terminology, absolutely.
When is that going to happen?
We got two people.
I'm sorry, Maurice. What was the question?
I had a question. It's what exactly do we call a master plan? What is our goal over here? Can you expand on it?
Sure. So a master planning process is designed to engage the community, to understand where we have strengths and weaknesses, where we have deficiencies, and understand what the community's desire is going forward. That really helps us then develop a plan in 5, 10, 15, 20-year increments, telling us what we should focus on from a facility development perspective, from a programming perspective, from a operations perspective. So it's looking at what are we doing, what's the community want, and how do we try to get to what the community wants over the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. So it's a long-range planning process.
So basically we're looking at creating an emission statement for the future is what you're saying.
It's a goal for planning purposes. So, for example, if we get funding to another bond, this master plan should help us have already prioritized what the community wants us to do first. So if we get money in the next 5 years, here's what the community would want first. In the next 5 years after that, in 10 years, what would the community want? So it helps us prioritize things up front so that as funding becomes available, we already know what we are trying to accomplish.
Okay. Do we have a team in place that is currently working on that master plan?
So we have a consultant that we just hired. We will start the kickoff meeting next week. And then we will go through a 12-month process where we are engaging the community in very specific questions to understand what their desires are for the next 20 years.
So a consultant is going to create a plan, and then we're going to submit to the community for comments and approval. Am I correct?
No. Understand. The first process, it's a 12-month process, so the first thing you do is evaluate what your existing inventory is. So you'll probably spend the next 3 months understanding what our existing facilities are, what the condition of those facilities are. So we do what they call the discovery phase. Based upon the discovery phase, we will then start community engagement to find out, okay, what would you like in the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and get feedback throughout the community on what that looks like. So that's where we'll be hitting up stakeholders. Youth league groups, cultural resource groups, the recreation program folks, birding folks, bike folks, all of our stakeholders will be inviting the meetings to say, okay, what are we lacking? What do you want more of? Where do we want those things? After we get that feedback, then we will start to craft a plan that says, okay, here's what we're hearing from the community. Then you take that plan back to the community again and say, okay, here's what we heard. Here's the plan based on what we've heard from you. Is this correct? Validate what we heard, and at that point, then you develop the final master plan.
Okay, and this presupposes that at some point in time, there's going to be a bond issued to finance the next 10 to 15 years covered by the plan, correct?
The hope would be that plan drive the ability to have a bond referendum at some point in the future that has already been kind of driven by the feedback that we've heard from the community.
But there's no guarantee of that happening.
I can't guarantee the bond. That's that's mayor and council and CNLO direction.
Right, because, we've just gone through an interesting year, 18 months, whereas funding was cut from a number of particular projects, cut back on pretty much all over the place. So should we also take into consideration that there will not be a bond proposal due to financial issues, whereas there's going to be more priorities to be covered by, you know, public funding? So I'm just wondering, for one thing, how much are we paying this consultant?
I think the contract is $600,000.
Okay. And does the money come out of Tucson Parks and Recreation?
I'm sorry?
Does the $600,000 come out of our budget?
The funding for this comes from impact fees.
Comes from impact fees. Okay. All right. Kathy was asking, so when should we hear, when should it start? When should we start hearing some questions and answers type of thing? So any schedule?
We are having our first meeting with the consultant next week, where we will start to lay out the schedule for this. We've kind of gotten a preliminary schedule, but we just literally signed the contract and finalized it last week, so we haven't had a chance to really meet with them to go through details. So I would expect the commission will start to hear some engagement within the next 30 to 60 days as we start bringing in stakeholders to have discussions. The commission would be one of those stakeholders.
Okay. One more question. Is the consultant a local entity, or are those folks from out of state?
They are from out of state.
Okay. And did we hire them by a bidding process, or how did we get those folks?
We did what you call a request for qualifications. So it's a qualifications-based evaluation process. And I believe we had Jasmine 6 or 7 submit.
Seven
firms submitted. We interviewed, I believe, 4 and hired 1.
Okay. I think it sounds pretty good. You know, I'm always looking for something new. I think we should always be looking for changes. Changes are good. I'm not too crazy about the $600,000 that we're giving to an out-of-state company, but if you guys went through a bidding process and you're satisfied with those folks, then I guess we'll leave it up to you. You know, I like your work. I like Jasmine's work, so I'm all for it. Okay. It would be nice to hear from, you know, what do they recommend, how quick they come up with a vision into the future, you know. And let's take it from there. That's all I had to say about it.
You're doing this.
Kathy had a question.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. It sounds really exciting and really appropriate. I do hope that the expertise and of the volunteers who are on the Alliance for the Ecological Park Management can be, you know, used, you know, reasonably early in the process too, because they're the ones who are going to be your major allies in getting the city council to do something you want them to do.
Yeah, I mean, we obviously anticipate keeping all of our stakeholders engaged through this process. They're the people we work with on a regular basis, so all of them will be engaged through this process. So, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. There's no more questions. Appreciate the work.
I'm going to ask if the therapeutic
presentation could go next because the budget could go longer and the staff are here.
Yes.
I don't want them to run over time.
Do you mind if we switch over? Seven for six.
Okay. So who's giving the presentation? And then we have to give them a mouse.
We both are.
Well, you can control the screen and the other one can talk and you can talk back and forth.
Since last meeting, we did have some discussion about disability advocacy for those with disability, and it occurred to me we never really brought our TR crew to you to talk about the amazing things they do. So I have to ask them to kind of share.
Hi, I'm Melissa. I'm the Therapeutic Adaptive Rec Coordinator.
And I'm Leah, I'm the Inclusion Coordinator.
So
we are some Therapeutic Rec Specialists.
And we are over next door at the Therapeutic Rec Building. Introduce a little bit about us. Our mission is to provide programs that develop and enhance lifelong recreational pursuits of people with disabilities through adaptive, aquatic, and inclusive recreation opportunities. We primarily serve individuals with developmental delays, intellectual disabilities. We do offer programs for those with physical disabilities as well as aging disabilities, hips, shoulders. Stuff happens as we age. So we really want to go across the spectrum to make sure everyone is covered through our programming. One of our most popular things is our Special Olympic sports. This is some of our basketball teams right there. We offer basketball. We have about 40 people, which we attend our area competition as well as state. We do cheerleading for around a dozen kids in the area and state as well. We offer bowling, which is incredibly popular. soccer. We have two teams for that one. It's really, really great. Our track and field team, and as well as our swimmers who are active right now at the Quincy Douglas Pool. And we have 33 of those athletes, and they're getting ready for our area competition at the ARC on September 19th, and then they will travel to state in October. We try to utilize a lot of our centers here and all those different areas to cover our programs. We want them to be active, social, creative, give them opportunities to get out and about, get familiar with areas. We have programming at our rec centers, like you can see, our weight rooms, that way that they get comfortable with, hey, I can go work out here on my own. Awesome. Bowling again. We offer lots of different social activities. Our summer program is probably one of our biggest and best. We offer four different opportunities for ages 5 to 22. We have our Discovery Camp, which takes place at Quincy Douglas. Our Stars, which takes place next door. And Adventure, which also takes place next door. And then we offer KidCo Inclusion, which is at a variety of KidCo sites throughout the city. We also work with Civitan. It's a local group to offer monthly social dances at the Quincy Douglas Center. We usually get about 100 participants for that one. It's great. It's just growing bigger and bigger. We offer monthly night out activities, bingo, karaoke, paint nights, just something fun to give them another opportunity to get out on a weekend night and have a good time. We also offer outings, which, you know, it's Special Needs Day at the Pima County Fair. Some big things are going on around the city. We've got a van. We load them up, and we go head out there and enjoy ourselves. So we really want to enhance life for these individuals. Since I've been here, we've been able to explore lots of great opportunities with organizations throughout Southern Arizona and tried new programming that has never been, which has been really, really great. And we feel really, really supported. We had our Pokemon Go, which traveled through, I think they walked 6 miles around Reed Park looking for stuff. Tabletop and e-games, which is very, very popular and up and coming, especially in Special Olympics. We've been able to work with Pima Surf Soccer Club to offer a soccer program for youth with disabilities, which has been really great to, so that when they get older and they can join us with our other programming. We're going to partner with Saguaro National Park here in the cooler months to offer hiking and outdoor activities that is geared more towards providing them with what they need to have successful time outdoors in our beautiful environment. We've also offered adaptive archery, which has been super, super fun, just offering different programming because people like different things. So it's been really great.
For inclusion, we offer pilot programs in collaboration with KIDCO and leisure programs. So right now we're doing Painting for Pleasure, where we have some of our participants in the regularly scheduled program with assistance from some of our therapeutic staff to make sure that they're successful. For KIDCO, with the Schools Out camps and the summer camps, we have 6 sites where we have our inclusion participants added and additional staffing to make sure that they're successful in those camps. And we also work with other outside organizations for sports. So we're working with Mikey's League right now for flag football. Other community engagement opportunities that we do, we partner with outside training readiness programs to send interns to learn the necessary job skills for when they're applying. So we'll work with workability and some TUSD high schools about sending interns into rec centers so they can learn how to work in a rec center and possibly apply to job opportunities that come up this summer. Also, for TUSD schools, we have a REACH program, which is Recreation, Engagement, and Community Health. It's a 5-week program where we teach leisure and education and community access to transition classrooms in across TUSD, emphasizing social and physical health. So we'll go out to their classroom, and then for the additional 4 weeks, we'll take them to different rec centers so that they can learn about different access opportunities and classes that they can register for.
I really wanted to highlight a lot of our wheelchair sports programs we run with Southern Arizona Adaptive Sports. It's a great partner of ours. With them, out of the Donald Liggins Recreation Center, we're able to support 4 wheelchair basketball teams. Wow. One is a juniors program, which is really great to help them connect with other individuals in wheelchairs, get active, be healthy. We have 2, a D2 and a D3 team, which are both co-ed, and then we have a women's storm team. A lot of them go to U of A, and they like to utilize the gym, and they take part in those programs. We also have a wheelchair softball team, and we use the Randolph Rec Center indoors because it gets really, really hot here during the summer where it goes. So we're able to utilize it for practice, all that kind of stuff. It's really, really great. We just went to the World Series. We got 15th. It was good. So since I've been here, we have hired 4 individuals with disabilities that work on our team. They're familiar. They know what to do. They're familiar with something breaks, something goes wrong. And they have helped support our adaptive sports in summer program. So they go to, I think this summer, they went to 8 different KIDCO sites, and they let children learn how to play wheelchair sports. We have a quick little video of that. I can get that going. Oh, it's a PDF. Oh, no.
Oh, no, you don't have the video.
I don't have the video. But they have a blast. It's so fun.
Can't you find it on YouTube?
You can get it. I don't know if I can send you a link. But we'll send you a link. It's on YouTube. But it's super fun. The guys go out. They show everyone how to use it. They're playing rugby because it's a little intense. But they're playing all basketball games, different games, all that fun stuff. And the kids really, really love it. And it's great for them to be like, oh, hey, my friend has a wheelchair. He's a wheelchair user. get him connected so he can attend our JAWS program so that they can start to learn to be active. So it's just about sharing our resources with others.
Also teaching them empathy, right? Understand what it's like to be in that chair.
What it's like to be like, oh, it's a lot harder to move than I expected. Because a lot of kids are like, oh, I got this. And they're like, no, you don't. No. We are also in our community events, Boobash, we're there for Family Fest, we're there for Extravaganza. We offer adaptive opportunities in that to make sure everyone can be included. And we also tend to have more low-key areas. People need to get out of the chaos and kind of relax and soothe themselves so that they can take that needed break and get back to having fun. So and you can see here, there's Extravaganza, there's our Boobash there. And then our Family Fest, we did a sensory car wash, which was totally fun. We also started with Senior Olympics. We have a lot of older wheelchair basketball players, and it was like, hey, they need an opportunity to be in this program as well. So it was really, really great. We had some guys come down from Phoenix because they were like, hey, we don't have anything like this in Phoenix. And they had a really great time. It was so much fun to see. So just creating more opportunities for them because Tucson is the city that adapts.
Nice.
So.
That's pretty good.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Any questions?
Don't forget the link later.
Yeah, don't forget the link.
Yeah. I know Kelsey at one point I put it online. So
yeah. So it's all there. So
cool. Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys. You did a great job. Yeah, just wanted to kind of share and highlight. Mm-hmm. And we're gonna try to intentionally bring more of our programs and just to connect more of the good work that the team. They're doing an amazing job telling the story.
Not much of that really is fantasies.
Yeah.
And who says that?
Pardon?
Who says that?
Well, I mean, this is something that Maurice asked to add. Manon had asked for the kind of the high-level budget report, kind of where we were, did email that out, didn't know if there were any questions, but I know this is an ongoing conversation that.
Yeah, we lost Darren, right?
Yeah. Darren, yes.
Yeah, so the
company
is kind of debunked at this point.
Yeah. We got his formal resignation today.
Oh.
And I have spoken to both Ward 4 and Ward 1 about replacements. They haven't appointed yet, but have actively spoken to them actually in the last week about it.
So you're saying it's defunct?
The supplement is definitely defunct without Darren right now. We'd have to restructure it. So at this point, with everything that's going on, what do you think, Maurice? Is it okay just to let this go on right now?
Well, you know, I think we're pretty enthusiastic because what was his name, Greg, that used to work for Davis-Monthan Air Force Base? You know, mirrored that he had a lot of connections in the business community and, you know, was basically, you know, telling us that, yeah, we can get a lot of money by, you know, getting those folks together. So obviously that's out of the picture. So we need to move on. Okay. Now, I believe that Tucson Parks and Recs has a built-in money machine that we could engage and make grow, okay. What I think we can do, okay, and I've noticed, you know, Sierra Boyer is a great, great communicator and a great asset, you know, in that matter, okay, among other people, don't get me wrong. Now, I think that what we need to do at this point is we need to focus on the fact that we're broke, okay. We're starting a budget that's tells us at the beginning that we're going to run a deficit. Okay. So, we could either, you know, sit back and, you know, let things happen and, you know, lose folks as we go along, which I don't think that's the right way to go about it. Okay. I think that, we need to play our strengths. Okay. We just spoke about, you know, our beautiful, you know, therapeutic pools and all that. And, you know, we come up with the fact that, well, okay, we can't really make money on only, you know, if we break even, you know, it's good. If we do break even. So we have a problem. Okay. We need to run our system, as if we're going to grow. Okay. We have a master plan, you know, in IELTS coming up over here, which is costing us $600,000. Fine. Okay. So we know we want to grow. We want to do things different. Now we need to find the money to do it. Okay. We know, you know, from experience that our federal government is not going to help. Okay. Folks are broke. Okay. If we put out a bond and people start thinking, well, gee, you know, I can afford steak at $20 a piece for one person, and, you know, fund a Parks and Recs bond at the same time. So, if we were to float a bond, I have the feeling it wouldn't pass. Okay. So we need to go for, you know, option number three. Okay. I think what we need to do, okay, is, and I mentioned that before, okay, we do have a numbers of recreation centers, which most of them are underutilized. Okay. We need to focus on, creating a revenue. I mentioned before, you know, let's do flea markets night. Let's do artisan nights. Let's do, folk night, balls, you know, whatever it takes. Let's make it happen. Okay. I don't know if you guys, you know, have ever been to El Casino ballroom. Okay. Those guys thought it was nothing. Okay. And when I have a fundraiser in there, there's people floor to ceiling. Okay. So there's a market. There's people that are looking for entertainment. Okay. We can afford that. We can give that. We have the facility to do it. Okay. I think we need to focus on that. Not only that, but I think that we need to do it as a team. Okay. There's some great people working, you know, in the team of Tucson Parks and Recs. Let's have a suggestion box. Let's ask everybody, do you have any idea what we could do to make money? Okay, to use this particular facility or that other facility in order to create an event that's going to make money. Okay, we need to be proactive. Okay, we can't keep on dreaming of use the aircraft giving us $1 million to make up for our shortfalls from last year, or Raytheon, you know, becoming generous and all that. It's not going to happen. Okay, so we need to be to start getting in charge of our own destiny. And for that, like I said, we need to create revenue flows. And you know, I used to work for a multinational company for 27 years here in Tucson. Okay, and we had a suggestion box. Okay, you know, folks, you know, entry-level folks would put their ideas into it, and it would turn to gold. Okay. Why can't we do it? Okay. As a matter of fact, I don't know if Denise still work, you know, in a reception at the office, but she used to work for that company, so she could tell you. Okay. Again, like I said, you know, we have a lot of talent over here. Okay. And we have a tapestry which is shrinking by the day. Okay. We're spending money we don't have. Okay, so my opinion is like I said, you know, we need to start a new process, whereas the whole team gets involved. What can we do? What could we suggest that we think would bring a dollar? This is my thought. Okay, and you know, then I mentioned earlier, you know, to, you know, get some healthcare providers involved in providing some kind of income by sharing some of our facilities to their client. That's a great idea. Okay, let's go further into it. Let's see how much money we can grab from them. I've seen a number of, you know, gyms in town that are actually getting money from, you know, United Healthcare for their silver sneaker plan. Okay. I don't know why we're having, you know, an issue with United Healthcare. Maybe it could be ironed out so that we don't lose money if we get a contract with them. They're not the only healthcare plan, you know, in the United States, though they're pretty big. If we could get their contract, it definitely would be a plus. You know, so I can see Becky is getting he wants to say some things. Go ahead.
Thank you, Maurice. Those are all great ideas. Yes, I like the suggestion box. All of those ideas are good. And I think Manan has something to say as well.
No, I don't. I'm just to say we do have another meeting in this room right after.
Okay. So we have another meeting, Maurice, that we need to move along after this meeting. So thank you, Maurice. Reports and announcements.
We have Blackbox, right? 4:30? 4:32?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Anything
like that? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Parks and Recreation Commissioners announcements. Kathy, do you have any?
No. I did really enjoy Ward 1. And the name, there was a park naming situation at Ward 1, and Becky was there, and I was there, and Director Hamway, and it really was really nice. It was nicely done. Mm-hmm. The food is great. I think it was really cathartic for a lot of people as well.
Which is nice. It was a good meeting.
The rain was interesting.
Yeah, the rain at the end.
I have to thank people who walked me out. So thank you very much. I wouldn't know.
That was definitely a watch and wear situation.
Yes, it was. Yes, I agree with thanks to Lane from Ward 1 for having the meeting and bringing that to everyone's attention on park process of renaming and holding back and getting feedback from community was good. Yes, it was good. Staff reports.
Adrian, are you doing parks or John?
Yeah. we're still working through the heat. We're hoping for some cooler weather, but it seems to heat back up every time we cool down a little bit. So staff still working through that. Storm damage hasn't been too bad this year. Haven't lost a whole lot of trees, just a lot of limbs. So just maintaining the cleanup, particularly on the east side. We're getting ready for overseed as we approach fall at our two sports complexes. So ball fields is ramping up there and getting that going. Otherwise, we're just continuing to work through parks, work on improvements, conversations, and just push through.
Dean?
Hi. Of the centers that I oversee, we have five of the six have gotten the closure done and they did the cleaning. So we have one left to go. So it's been the cleaning push after summer. TR folks are already gone. But one of the programs they didn't have pictures of there is they have flower beds, raised flower beds that they have in the back. So thanks to the maintenance team for helping us out with that. It's a cool way for them to, you know, play around, grow some stuff. Everyone gets a little bit of dirt. Everyone gets a little dirty. So it's fun. And then last week we had our second Knowledge Bites, which is the basically a coordinator training that we do here in the in Parks and Recreation. And our two guest speakers, Lara and Robert, ran the show with the 80s version of the ADs. Very creative.
Our ADs are administrative directives. So they told us from their first one that they wanted to know more about the policies. So we turned them into an 80s trivia show.
Mm-hmm.
Andy?
Okay.
I defer to Ms. Turpin.
Well, our summer's over. We ended with 62 rescues all summer. We had two on the very last day. So we're in our extended season right now, which ends this weekend. So the only change to our schedule is that Thompson Pool will be closed and the rest of our extended pools will stay open through November 7th. And then the schedule will just take our extended pools out. We ended with a 4-star rating from our audit. We serve over 3,100 swim lessons. We're going to offer fall lifeguard classes this year because we're anticipating having more pools open. So we just want to make sure we have plenty of staff for that. So we have a plan going to make sure we're not short. It's just still busy, still hot. People are still swimming.
On top of that, I mean, we still have AquaFit. And the classes you saw, the ARC, we also have at Archer, Clement, Udall, And on top of that, we have SwimFit for kids. We have adult swimming lessons at five of the pools. And we have swimming lessons going on at the ARC as well for the next five more weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. To continue on the recreation side, we do have more closures coming up. El Pueblo's closed right now for the rest of the week. Once they reopen and the gyms reopen, they're going to try badminton. So that's a new activity that they're going to try in the gym. So we're advertising that at Randolph and Udall, where they currently have badminton. Last Friday was Armory's volunteer luncheon. They had about 75 folks that helped out with different programs throughout the year. They were treated to a nice catered lunch. El Pueblo will be planning for their El Grito event, which is mid-September, September 16th. They're expecting about 80 people there, the catered food, music. We have fall planning underworks, so we have our big Halloween event, Boo Bash, that's in October, and then our family festival event that's at Reed Park in November. Our committees have already started planning, so that's going to be this month, September, October, leading up to the event dates. And then our events team will be working with Ward 5 with a movie series event. So starting in September, I think one at Silver Lake, and then two in October, one at Santa Rita and one at Gunny Barrera. So, and then one more month of cooling centers. We'll be continuing that program offering through the end of September.
I don't have anything to add to what we talked about.
Thank you.
I do not have anything other than it was a great event doing the naming thing and escorting you to the car during the rain. So
everybody wanted to make sure I wouldn't fall.
That's a good thing. I was going to explain the master planning process, and I think I've already done that. So.
Yeah.
Oh.
I just think. Sorry. Somebody
else? I wasn't asked by Becky if as far as my comments.
Oh, I am sorry.
That's all right. I just want to say that I drove by the new Ben Shell in Armory Park the other night, and the lights are up, and it looks gorgeous. Okay, it's really, really beautiful. Okay, it was a beautiful job. And thank Jasmine and the whole crowd. They did a great job. Now, I'm waiting to hear what the Friends of Santa Rita meeting was from Lena.
So what I was going to talk about is that we have confirmed Santa Rita is going to open October 2nd. It's going to be a 2-day event or celebration. On Friday the 2nd in the afternoon is more of the ribbon cutting and doing a celebration where a lot of the city officials will be involved. Then on Saturday, there's going to be a movie night. What's the movie? Goat and resource partners to come on site. So just a way to activate that space. And the anticipation is pushing just a lot of activities. You've got a multi-purpose field. You've got a softball field, baseball field, walking path, new splash pad, new playground. And the skate park folks are really excited to be going back to their park, which they've missed skating there. We also added, a replacement shade sail there that they had lost. So a lot of focus on Santa Rita will be, us kind of aligning to getting it ready to open and then activating it afterwards. TPD is very much engaged on that plan as well. Tomorrow night we have a meeting at Councilmember Barajas' office with the Friends group. They're also doing a lot towards helping to activate it. And then in October, later in October, we'll be looking at opening Jacobs Park, which has also been down for quite a long time. What's really exciting about that location is we got ORLP funding there, because I get confused sometimes between the two different funding sources. And the City Park Alliance happens to be doing their annual board meeting here in Tucson. We've been working with them. And on the day of their tour of Tucson, where they're going to get to see a lot of really cool things that we do, from stormwater harvesting projects in parks and park investments, we were able to align the ribbon cutting to allow them to participate. What's really cool is someone from the National Park Service will be in attendance as well. So you think about from the federal dollars that we get to happen to coordinate having a federal person here on site. Awesome.
Awesome.
So excited to see that and have that park come back into inventory for people to enjoy.
It's Jacobs.
Jacobs. And so, of course, we'll make sure that you all are.
The date?
I think it's the 15th at 11 or 11:30.
15th of
October.
Thank you.
So October's coming in like a bear. It's going to be really, really busy, but we're excited about that to come back, and especially for the sports groups because that's a fourplex. We're hoping for girls softball there, right? And then seven-sided soccer, a skate park, pickleball. Futsal, new dog park. They had a dog park, but the dog park got moved, right? Make sure I didn't talk about something that didn't get funded. but what's really cool about that project is the layered funding there. Federal, state, impact, you know, all the things that we have. And then just as a quick update, two of the namings that we've discussed in February have been scheduled for September 9th commission meeting. Council meeting. The Joaquin Marietta and Stacy Redondo softball fields. So those are confirmed to be on that agenda.
On the for City Council.
For City Council. All right.
Thank you. That's good.
Okay, the future agenda.
That's all you have. That's all you have.
Yeah.
Okay. Commission future agenda items and the next meeting dates. The next one is September 23rd. Future agenda items. Do you have anything? Maurice, do you have any future agenda item requests?
I'd like to know, whether we could put a suggestion box in all the rec centers, for one thing. See what happens. Okay. See if some new revenue has come in between. Okay. What we've, thought of as far as new revenue stream. So, yeah, I'd like to put it on the agenda. I mentioned that before. I think each session should have something to do with our budget. We're so short money. We can't dilly-dally. We've got to keep an eye on it. So I'd like to put it on the budget again, on our schedule again, please.
Okay, thank you. Anand?
With the new city rules around quorum, I just would like some clarification on, and it doesn't have to be an agenda item, but I would like some clarification on, if we lose two, what do we go to in the percentages, or is it kind of level off until we get down to four only or something like that? Because they changed the quorum so we could make quorum at one point. Yeah.
Right, we did. And I think it's four, right?
So if you only have four and you lose one.
It's one more than half of the appointed
of
the filled positions. It used to be all positions, but they reduced it to the filled positions.
That's what I remember. Okay. All right, thank you.
If you had seven commissioners, you had to have at least four, no matter how many positions were filled.
Yes.
Now it's hard sometimes if you had three vacancies. Then they went to
bad time.
If you have plus one, however many are filled. Yeah. So if you only have four positions, you still need three. If you have five, you need three. If you have six, you need four.
Okay.
One more than half.
All right. More than okay.
All right. Thank you.
That makes sense.
I, at the meeting with the board one at El Rio, somebody mentioned the fact that they didn't like the fact that we didn't meet in November and December and it pushed back things. So I don't know if we are going to continue because of the holidays just sticking to the fourth Monday or fourth Wednesday of the month, or if we can, or if we wanted to meet a different day during those months. We want that on the agenda for discussion.
We could. I mean,
if you're going to spread around, we should table. We should advertise if you're going to discuss
it. Right. Yeah. Right. So, yeah, I just.
It might be worthwhile clarifying a few things, get it on the agenda.
Yeah. Okay. That it?
I think so.
We're done? Yay. Okay. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
We have a motion to adjourn.
Yay. All those in favor say bye.
I'll turn it over.
Time is this?
4:45.
Yeah. Thank you.
Only
those.
Me and the
Well, the rain was so intense. It was
just trying to keep them in order.
It was nice and